Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Knoxville native is returning home to practice veterinary medicine. Let's go in-depth with Dr. Maggie Wilson with the Knoxville Veterinary Clinic. Dr. Wilson, where are you from?
I'm from here in Knoxville.
And your maiden name was?
Aleph, Maggie Aleph.
Okay, so people will remember you as Maggie Aleph, class of?
2001. I graduated from the Knoxville High School, so.
And you're coming back to take over Dr. Burke's veterinary practice there on the south edge of town.
Yep. Knoxville Veterinary Clinic.
Well, what makes you want to come back to Knoxville?
Well, I still have family and friends in town here. The Knoxville Vet Clinic is the clinic I originally practiced at when I first graduated from vet school. I graduated in 2009 from Iowa State University. I came back here to Knoxville and practiced for a year, and then got married to my husband, Jeff, and we moved west. So we now have two beautiful kids, Courtney and Colin, and in an effort to be closer to family, moved back to central Iowa. The opportunity arose to come back to Knoxville to purchase the Knoxville Vet Clinic, and we were more than happy to do so. This is just a great town, a great community, and great place to raise our family. So excited to be back.
And so where do you live now?
Currently, we live in Norwalk. We moved back to central Iowa about a year and a half ago from the Sioux City area. So we're actually planning on moving here to Knoxville within the next few months. Just have to get our house sold and find a house here and all that crazy business. So.
Well, great. Well, that's good that you're returning home.
Mm-hmm.
And a place to raise your kids that you know well and love.
Absolutely, yeah. I had lots of good memories from the clinic here when I worked here back in 2009, 2010. The staff was amazing and we had really great clients, so I'm excited to come back and get to work with some of the same staff members and see some of my old clients and meet new clients. So.
Well, that's a well-established practice.
Yes, I believe he's been there since the 70s, so it's certainly been a staple in town. So.
Mm-hmm. And do you know how many clients are, you know, how many folders you have there on the wall? Or
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know it's certainly a well-respected clinic and busy, and we're looking forward to keeping up the same standard of care that Dr. Burke has provided for his clients over the years. So.
It's probably tough to keep track because you have some people that come in once and some people that come in once a year or twice a year.
Or some that come in frequently depending on how many pets they have. So,
what made you decide that you wanted to be a veterinarian?
I've really always wanted to be a vet. My mom has a picture at home. I think it was like my 7th birthday and I was excited to get a pet vet play kit. But I grew up on a farm and absolutely loved animals. And just from an early age, I knew that was something I was interested in. Kind of fell in love with science when I was in high school. Had some really amazing science teachers here in Knoxville that helped to stimulate that interest in science. And I went on to Iowa State University. I got my bachelor's degree in 2005 from Iowa State in animal science and then stayed there for vet school. I like helping animals. I like helping people. And I have a passion for all things science related. So veterinary medicine was a great combination of things I loved. So.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Maggie Wilson with the Knoxville Veterinary Clinic. Any particular science teacher you'd like to give a shout out to?
Mr. Farayan was certainly one of my favorites, and Mr. Emmerich, they were both excellent science teachers. So,
So they helped stimulate your curiosity? Or?
Yep, and I think did a great job here and helped me be successful, helped to give me a good foundation to succeed in college.
So you felt well prepared for your science
classes? Yep. And I get lots of interested students coming through the clinics that I've worked in over the years, and I always tell them, better make sure you like science classes because you're going to be taking a lot of them. So.
Yeah. Are you going to be handling, you know, household pets, farm animals?
Just companion animals. So dogs and cats primarily is what we will do at the Knoxville Vet Clinic. I don't work on large animals. So and Dr. Brooke doesn't currently work on large animals. So I'm planning on just maintaining just dogs and cats. So and the occasional other pocket pet. So.
I can bring in a gerbil.
You can bring in a gerbil if you want. I'd be happy to see your gerbil.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Hardly anybody does birds. Did you do birds?
I sure could. I wouldn't say I'm a bird expert, but I sure could if you brought them in. So
you'd give it a shot.
I would give it a shot. So
yeah, they're just so fragile.
They are. Yep. They
mysterious.
Are
mysterious.
Yeah, they are. I would say certainly dogs and cats are more in my forte. So I really enjoy doing surgery. I enjoy working up medical cases. And most of all, what I really enjoy is I enjoy working with clients. I just I enjoy the people that I get to meet and the people that I get to help, and it's really a fun and rewarding job. So,
mm-hmm. It's interesting. Well, it must be interesting to see the bond between people and their pets.
Absolutely. I can tell you some of my favorite clients over the years are. Pets that are more like family to their owners, and you can really see that when they come in. And some of my clients are widows or widowers, and they have their pets are really their companions, and they're very important to them. They treat them just like family. And I know for my own personal pets that my pets to me are just like family. So it's really important to keep pets healthy so that they can maintain that bond, that close bond between the two of them. So.
Well, give us some tips. How do we keep our pets healthy?
Well, regular veterinary checkups is a really good tip. There's lots of preventable diseases that just coming in for routine checkups and vaccinations and deworming, heartworm, flea, tick medication, all those things helps to just keep your pets nice and healthy so that they can live a nice long life.
Well, the regular care is important because we don't want to come when it's just the dog or cat's really in trouble.
Right, absolutely. So preventative care is the key. That just same in veterinary medicine as it is in human medicine. Regular checkups helps prevent. Early detection is great for preventing long-term issues. So.
Well, and you'll see things that we won't see, the earwax or toenails or whatever.
Correct. Or you'll start to see the beginning of some dental disease. And a little known fact is that a lot of over 80% of pets have dental disease. And we know that that's directly correlated with heart disease and kidney disease. So getting in for routine dental procedures and just general maintenance things really does help your pet maintain a longer, healthier life.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dr. Maggie Wilson with the Knoxville Veterinary Clinic. Well, cats and dogs are so different. I'm not going to ask if you have a favorite.
I have both two dogs and a cat, so I can't even say if I have a favorite. I really do like them all.
Well, it's just though that they're so different in mm-hmm. personalities and everything. I mean,
oh,
you have
absolutely.
A different psychology you have to use to approach.
That's actually a really good question. I'm actually, I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Marty Becker's course. Fear-Free course. I'm actually a Fear-Free certified practitioner, and there is a different approach that you take when approaching cats or dogs to try to make them comfortable with the situation and to make sure that that they're having a good visit as well. And cats are kind of less is more type animals. they're not usually comforted by the same things that dogs are comforted by. So it is really important to kind of alter your approach when you're dealing with different species. So.
So how? I mean, what do you do? Do you talk to them differently? Mm-hmm. You hold them differently?
Well, there's several things that I personally do. I like to use a lot of pheromones. So usually when you come in, when you bring your pet into an exam room with me, I will have already tried to set the scene for the cats and dogs differently. So I make sure that there's a non-slip surface. Usually when I'm examining a cat, I will try to, if it's a carrier that I can take the top off of, I actually try to examine the cat in the carrier, because then I'm examining them on their own turf and they feel a little bit more comfortable. A lot of times I'll use a towel and let them kind of hide in the towel so that they don't feel so exposed and out in the open. I use a lot of treats. I'm a big fan of treats for pets. I think food makes friends as far as it goes with both dogs and cats. I try to talk in a calmer, more soothing voice around cats, as opposed to some dogs really like it better if you're kind of excited and get down on their level. It's a varied approach depending on which species you're working with, and I truly do enjoy working with both dogs and cats. So.
Well, I've had both dogs and cats, and I enjoy them both, but it's like dogs are happy to see you.
Yeah, yeah.
Cats are, what do you think you're going to do?
That's right. They say dogs have masters and cats have servants. I think that's probably legit.
Okay. So you take it very seriously, have the different approaches. And how about different breeds of dogs? There's the little yippy dogs.
And again, I don't have a favorite. I have a 10-pound dog and a 50-pound dog myself, so I really like them all. But there's a little bit of different approaches. I find that some of the smaller dogs that like to be held, you do have to be a little bit different in how you approach them. A lot of times they're used to being held and they're very protective of their owners. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll ask the owner to set the dog on the table before I pick them up, because otherwise sometimes they can get a little overly protective of the owner. If I reach towards the owner, they'll think that I'm trying to hurt their human. So they'll sometimes get a little more on the defense versus picking them up from a neutral area, such as if they set them down on the floor or on the table first and then allow me to pick them up. So there's certainly varied approaches depending on the situation. I think there are so many different breeds and dogs have just varied personalities, just like humans do, to be quite honest. So.
Okay, and so you don't have a favorite?
I don't have a favorite, no. You can't have a favorite in the vet world.
So what if you come in and the dog growls?
Oh, that certainly happens. It kind of depends on the scenario. If it's a dog that's just fearful, because of they've never been into the clinic before, or are they growling because they just had a bad interaction with somebody on the way in the building? Again, part of this fear-free certification that I have gone through we try to take the fear out of visits to the clinic. So if I have a dog that's overly fearful, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll just talk to my client and say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to reschedule this, and I'm going to send you home some medication to reduce his anxiety, and then we're going to come in again. And I may even have you come in for a couple of wellness visits where it's not a visit where you're necessarily going to see me or even pay to be seen or anything like that. Just come into the clinic and we're just going to have you stop in and we're going to give them a few treats and try and make the visit a little bit more pleasant for the next time that he comes in. So it's all about getting them used to coming into the clinic and getting comfortable with it. So.
Well, I bet sometimes you have to train the humans.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot to do, in cats in particular. There's there's a lot of their anxiety can be linked with how they're handled at home prior to coming into the clinic. If you have a cat that has only sees their carrier once a year when they go to the vet, and they only associate that carrier with bad things, such as being in the scary car and then getting poked at the clinic, just getting the carrier out at home can be fear-inducing for the cat. So I like to talk to my clients about ways that they can help the cat be more at ease before they even bring them in. You know, can leave the carrier out at home, put so that the cat can go in and out of the carrier, put treats, some catnip, use the synthetic feel-good pheromones in the carrier. Soothing music is actually really good. Lavender scent, bizarrely, is calming for us humans. It's also, there have been a few research papers that shows that it's actually calming for cats as well. Now, not putting anything directly on the cat, but just having that scent in the room. They're all things that you can do to try to help make it calm. And pets feed off of their owner's emotions. So if you have an owner that's anxious about the vet visit, their pet can feel that and can feed that anxiety. So there have been a few times if I've had a really anxious owner in the room, I may have to just ask the owner, would you mind waiting in the lobby? And a lot of times the dog will calm down as long as we're being calm. So it's different approaches. So
catnip's fun, but I always feel guilty doing like I'm hooking them on this drug.
Yeah, interestingly, only about 40% of cats even respond to catnip. Really? They have to have the correct receptor to do it, but to have any sort of a response to catnip. But you can certainly tell if you have a cat that is responsive to catnip. But I am not above using catnip if it calms them down and makes them enjoy things a little bit more. I'm totally fine with it. So.
Well, and when are you taking over the practice?
I take over on March 2nd. So.
March 2nd.
Right up, yeah.
Well, that's going to be fun. I bet that first day is real exciting.
Yes, yep. I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to meeting clients and just the entire experience. Where my husband and I both are just really excited about this whole opportunity, so.
Is there going to be some time in the first week or so old friends can stop by? Or
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would welcome anybody to just stop in and say hello if they'd like to meet me. And I'm happy to just come out and, you know, shake their hand and introduce myself and, you know, give you a tour. Hopefully within the first few months, we'll be having an open house where we'll invite anyone in the community, client, non-client, everyone to come out and say hello. So. We don't have that set up yet to be announced. So.
Thanks to Dr. Maggie Wilson for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.